We are back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, brought to you by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. And every day we have Harvest Ridge here at the Radio Ranch, and you can enjoy that Harvest Ridge coffee. The beans are always hand-roasted. They do it in small batches, folks. They're not going to put it in some big, gigantic thing and grind it around till it's all burnt up. Premier Coffee. They've got lots of different blends. Kona Blend, Colombian Supreme, Highlander Grog, French Roast. You have to say oui if you want a French roast. If you just want plain old Radio Ranch coffee, just ask for the signature blend, medium roast from Harvest Ridge, and you'll get what fuels Mary Griffith and the Mary Griffith Show every day. Bruce Guthrie joins me from the Quincy Area Chamber of Commerce. I hear we're having a small little festival coming up the first weekend in May. Apparently, people from all over the United States are coming to Quincy for the Lego competition. This Dogwood thing is turning into something kind of big again.
It's a great weekend, you know. Nothing like bringing in the spring and summer and everything, and the excitement of the Dogwood Parade. It's amazing every year, and I probably always tell you this, Mary, the many calls and interest that we get. And, you know, the Dogwood Parade is such a great event, and so thrilled, first of all, that Blessing helps us out on it for this parade. And close to 100 entries total, and, you know, we're at about a, you know, sellouts around, I think, 120. We can only, so if you still want to get in, get your entry in, go on our website and get your in. But we're so excited about it. You know, we hear these different stories from people calling about their things they're going to bring into. Yeah. But we're adding
May the fourth. May the fourth be with you. So I mean, people are, I think, a group that normally isn't as jacked up about parades. That group of the Star Wars kind of people are getting jacked up about it.
Excited. And we're announcing today. A brand new little, another additional part of, big announcement. We want everyone to get involved, and especially all these homes and businesses along Main Street to decorate for the Dogwood. A lot of them do. So we're announcing a new award, the Main Street Marvel Award. We're going to be judging all of those Main Street homes and businesses. We want them to decorate, have fun. And we're going to give them a special award for doing the best job of decorating and celebrating the Dogwood. So we want that whole street to go, because there's getting to be more and more parties and things going on along there. So we're really excited to announce that. So dress up, decorate your porch, decorate your yard, decorate your dogs, whatever. Let's have a great time on May 4th.
Okay, Aunt Colette and Uncle Mike, I'll be over with my Star Wars saber. And we'll do a living reenactment on your front lawn, whether you want me to or not. So the Main Street Marvel Award will be for decorating your home, your business, whatever. Just make it look very festive for the Dogwood Parade. And the Dogwood Parade, still there is time to enter. We want to encourage everyone to be in the Dogwood Parade or just to come down and line the streets. You can start anywhere from 24th and Main all the way down to 5th and Main. There's really no one great viewing spot. It's wherever you can get a spot along the street that's close to parking and everything. And so a lot of times people just come and they've got their favorite spot and they put their lawn chair up there and that's where they stake it out.
Exactly. A lot of people I talk to, they have their main spot every year. They get their lawn chairs out there and their cooler or whatever it may be and stake out their spot and all along there. And we get such great crowds. It's always fun. You know, it's always great to see the kids and the families out. And we're going to have a lot of different people in the parade. So come on out and enjoy it.
So whether you're in the parade or just watching the parade, we invite everybody to come to Quincy that day. And the Chamber of Commerce, the Dogwood Festival used to be much larger. And that you had to pull back a little bit. And over the years, there was a contraction of the Dogwood Festival. However, I've noticed post-COVID, people want to expand the Dogwood Festival. Now, not necessarily affiliated with the Dogwood Festival, but that same weekend is this big Lego competition, and we're going to be talking about that on the Mary Griffith Show with a guy that runs that, and that is going to bring people into our community that want to experience small-town community. So we're going to have hundreds, if not thousands, of visitors that are coming for this big Lego show.
You had a great time to have for the Dogwood weekend and you know, Dogwood Festival. I would love for more events and activities. I know a lot of people ask the chamber to get involved. I'd love to do more. Our challenge is we put on a parade, and a parade is a big undertaking. We had discussions with some groups about some other events. We're continue to have those discussions. We do encourage everyone to make this a broader, bigger celebration. I think there is going to be some other things going on that weekend. I know that there's the farmers market. The district will open up out in Washington Park. I think the theater is having a big celebration down for their anniversary, the Washington Theater. You can go to Arts Quincy. Laura Sievert's doing the Little Miss and...
Well, it's going to be like the King and Queen and Princess.
That's right.
So they're actually having four royals. Yep. There are going to be four royalty named this year, and that's a video contest. And that ends April 10th, so get your video in. You're right, Washington Theater Restoration, that building will be open, and there'll be a big gala going on as part of the Dogwood Festival to kind of commemorate, 100 years of Washington Parks, Washington Theater anchoring there. And we all owe it all to Mary Lou Kent, who got this idea. We ought to have a little festival that can bring people to town. And Quincy's Dogwoods are almost never in bloom when the actual Dogwood
Festival. Well, that's why we have a Mary Lou Kent Award.
But this year we may luck out because it's a late spring this year. It seems like it's cold, cold, cold.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the dogwoods have blossomed yet. I haven't looked
seen a little bit, but you're right.
I think this cold weather is going to retard them to where we may actually be in full bloom.
Exactly.
That first week in May with May the 4th, and I love May the 4th be with you. So that is exciting. And again, just get involved. Be an ambassador to Quincy. This time, there are going to be a lot of people coming into town that will be here from out of town. This Lego thing is kind of a crossover event that's going to bring a lot of people to our shores, and some of them are going to get up that morning and want to watch this parade and see what small town America is all about.
Yes.
So what advice do you have as a Chamber of Commerce director for the average person in the Quincy area? How can we be good ambassadors? Know a little bit. Know where there's a good restaurant to eat. Know what entertainment there is. Tell people locally, hey, did you know the Lego convention's in town? You can just walk, or after the parade's over, just walk over to the Oakley Lindsay Center and watch it. You know, there's all kinds of things going on.
Well, you're right, Mary. And I think a lot of times, I think we forget what we have here in regards to all these events and activities. There's so many things that are going on in this community. We encourage everybody to go out and participate and support these events and these activities, because a lot of people put in a lot of hard work to put them on. We got so many wonderful things that are coming up this summer with Mayfest and Blues and the new karting event, and just support them and be able to tell your friends and your family, what a great place to come to spend a weekend and enjoy Quincy and come to our town and enjoy what we have to offer. We have so much to offer.
Okay. If we want to get in the parade, how can we register? Because like you said, you are capping it because of time and energy. You are capping it at so many entries. How can we still call today or this week and get involved?
QuincyChamber.org. Go to our website. You'll see the calendar of events. You'll click on the parade, and you can register there, and it has all the information for you.
Okay. Another thing we want to talk about, the Quincy Area Chamber of Commerce Leadership Institute class, April 9th, the impact of nonprofits on our community. I think we often look at these nonprofits, and a lot of their integrity is found in the quality of members of their boards. And when I look at the list of who's on the board of directors, if I trust those people, I trust the direction that that not-for-profit is going. So what is the Leadership Academy doing to foster that?
Well, it's so important. This Leadership Institute, is a 9-month training class of 19 great potential leaders in our community. Well, they are leaders, and it's amazing, Mary. This group is so great, and they so much want to get involved in the community, and you're going to start hearing about some of the projects they're working on very soon. But we focus on one area each month, and this month on April, for we're going to have a panel there to talk about nonprofits and the importance of a nonprofit in our community, but even more importantly, serving on a board. And Mary, I know you have the importance of these organizations. They need a board. You know, you got to have a board of directors. You got to have that direction, that strategic power of all these minds to help you, you know, watch your fiduciary responsibilities, et cetera. So we're going to talk about the importance of nonprofits, importance of serving on a board. But what is the responsibility of serving on a board, Mary? It's just not putting your name down. It's being on a board and taking active responsibility of that nonprofit and helping them move on, because paid staff or staff need that for direction, support, and we need more people to serve on boards. That's a challenge because there's so many great nonprofits and boards in Quincy. We need to find those people, and we need to get them involved.
Well, it can be a great leadership training for a younger person because you're not going to be able to be on the board of directors of your own company, probably, for a while, let's just say. But you can get a lot of expertise in learning how you would manage a, you know, million-dollar organization by being on the board. The key there is the fiduciary responsibility, the responsibility not to be just a board member in name only. The responsibility that must come with, you have to really do some work, because these not-for-profits, they've got very slim staffs. So they're relying on the board to do some of the fundraising work, some of the five-year long-range plan work, stuff like that. So it's really critically important that we get people involved. So I'm glad to see the Chamber of Commerce is reaching out and training some of these young folk, because oftentimes you ask somebody to be on a board, but then you don't really tell them what's expected of them, and they're kind of lost. And if they're not a little bit more aggressive, they're not going to ask.
And they get lost, and they're gone, and then we've lost a good board member. And there's not enough training, and that's exactly what this class has asked. It's been amazing. They're going, well, what does it mean to be on a board? No one's told me what I have to do or what my responsibilities are. Give me some direction. So really excited about this this training session. We got some great people on the panel. They're going to be talking to this group. So it's so important for us as a community to look into looking at more and more people to help lead our community, help get involved on boards, help get, you know, have positions to move our community forward and make sure that all of our nonprofits and all of our community events are going off successfully. And the Chamber has a board of directors, and I could not do it without this board of directors. They're fantastic.
One thing I want to say, you know, as I have the wisdom now, the worst board is the board that looks down the desk to the executive director, and whatever he or she says, they say, we'll go along with that. You should never be argumentative or dismissive, and you should always be supportive. After all, you hired that person or somebody before you did. But you can't just be a rubber stamp, because that's when people get in fiduciary trouble. That's when they don't look at the long-term mission. That's when, you know, you get in trouble. The board has to oversee that executive director. You want to have your thoughts heard. I mean, you want to think the board respects you, and Bruce Guthrie gives out these ideas, and Bruce wants to do this, and Bruce wants to do that, and here's a plan. But every once in a while, somebody has to pull back the reins and say, Bruce, those are five great ideas. We can only afford to do three this year.
That's so true, Mary.
So pick your three.
Pick your three. The other thing is that a director or president of, like I am, is to understand that you have, whatever, 15, 18 very highly educated, intelligent people who can really help you and embrace that help and that assistance and that advice instead of pushing back. And also, it can also act as helping you, support you when you do have to make tough decisions.
Yeah.
So there's so much to that, and you find out different people do different ways on a board, but there's such an importance to having good people and having that combination of a partnership with staff and your board of directors.
Anything else for the good of the cause?
Let's just get some good weather. Let's have a great April and get ready for the parade. And the Chamber's doing so many fun things. Check us out online or on social media. Get your business. If you're a business out there, look us up and ask us, you know, how you could participate in the Chamber and what we can do for you.
Okay, QuincyChamber.org, QuincyChamber.org. The next time we see him, it's just going to be one day.
That's right.
Before.
A couple days before.
Wow, a couple
yes.
days before. May the 4th be with you. Coming up, the director of the Adams County Health Department and Dr. Bob Rich. They're both here today to talk about opioid problems in our community. We'll be right back. We are back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. We just talked about something super fun, which is Dogwood Festival weekend. And now we're going to talk about something super serious, which is no fun at all. And that is opioid addiction. Jared Welch, the director of the Adams County Health Department, is here. And Dr. Bob Rich, who is a member of the Adams County Board. And this morning on the WTAD Morning News, you heard about the fact that Adams County has received this grant. And they're going to use the money to fight opioid addiction in our area. So we're going to have a broad conversation today with Jared Welch and with Dr. Rich about how bad this problem is and what locally you're trying to do to stem the tide. So first and foremost, Jared Welch, how long have you been in charge of the Adams County Health Department? It's been a while.
Oh, gosh, yeah, it's been over 10 years at this point.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, been through a lot of fun in the last decade.
COVID was nobody's fun, that's for sure. And Dr. Bob Rich, what is your involvement? The county board is involved in overseeing the health department.
Yeah, the county board is overseeing the money through the health department, and so I'm the representative from the county board on the opioid committee.
Okay, so you're keeping making sure the money gets the best bang for its buck. So
yes.
Let's just start. Briefly explain the grant, and then I'm going to go back into how big is the problem and what that grant's going to do to try to solve that. So take it away, Director Welch.
All right. Well, so we've heard about this concept, this national opioid settlement, right? So a big lawsuit. This started when certain cities started to sue manufacturers and distributors of opioid products. That got a little bit out of hand, and so all the states came together and did one class action lawsuit. So that became the National Opioid Settlement. And Illinois participated in that. And then within Illinois, the subunits of government could participate. And Adams County, fortunately, did do that. So that's kind of how it originated. And within the settlement, there is a large state pool of money. And then that gets distributed based on population and some other factors. And Adams County right now is anticipating about $1.3 to $1.4 million over the next decade plus. We expect that potentially to grow as more settlements get finalized, but that's the number that we're working with right now. So here, I'd really like to kind of sing the praises of what's going on with our governing fathers. The county board has made the decision, to get experts involved in this process. So that's not the health department per se. Yes, we do some substance abuse coalition work, but that's really a group of physicians who are in emergency departments, who are doing medically assisted treatment. That is our transitions folks and our clarity folks, the drug experts. And so this group has come together, been appointed by the county board to create a process where we can distribute those monies to individual organizations in the community to do great work to fight this epidemic.
So it's about treatment. Obviously, we have to stop the new addicts and we have to treat the people who are already addicted. So, and hop in, Dr. Rich, anytime, because, you know, it's even a problem among the veterinary medicine. People are stealing. I mean, people will steal veterinary drugs, or people will say, my horse has a sore leg. And, you know, they'll take a horse problem. It's a problem everywhere. Opioid is addictive.
It's all across the board. And we say this is the opioid settlement. We're including drug abuse from other things, whether it's meth or veterinary drugs, which I'm into now. I understand people are stealing xylazine and we call it Special K now. We always call it ketamine, and it's so we're trying to include all this. I think that the point that you don't realize is everybody thinks the druggie looks like the poor homeless person that you see walking down the street that's just down on their luck, but they can look like you and I. And I'm sure we all remember when our healthcare profession have a tooth procedure, a bone procedure done, and you get a whole bottle of oxycodone. I mean, that's how it starts. If you have an addictive personality, down the road you go. So it can be people just like you and I.
I think that is so important, Doctor, the fact that you said that. You know, there was this stereotype, and I guess one of the things that our listeners would be most familiar with would be Rush Limbaugh. Here's a man at the top of his broadcasting game. Nobody better at his craft than Rush Limbaugh. Lost his hearing. And one of my friends who's a pharmacy tech said, oh my gosh, I bet he's an opioid addict, because that's one of the things that happens. You lose your hearing. And of course, who would have thought? But Rush Limbaugh's a human, and he had back surgery, and he got prescribed pain-killing drugs. And he took pain-killing drugs under the advice of a doctor. And then somehow something happened, and he couldn't stop. And because of his high profile, he was able to probably go a lot longer than some people were, but eventually it all comes home to roost.
Right.
So opioid addicts are your grandmother, your teenage son, you. This can happen to anyone. And I think we need to talk about that. And Jared Welch, that's really what it boils down to. Part of the reason this happened and part of the reason there was this lawsuit was because these drugs were so advanced and so wonderful that, you know, you had no pain whatsoever.
Right.
And for some people, that's pretty wonderful feeling.
That's right.
And you don't realize until you miss a pill that, now I realize that there's a little bit of a problem, and almost by then it's too late.
Right.
So now let's talk about what's happening today, because doctors are not shelling these out 40 at a time is one of the things that's changed. What would you say from the Adams County Health Department, not that you oversee, you know, everybody, how they do their practice, but it's harder now for new people to become addicted because we're not giving them access to an addictive level dose, right? Would that be a true statement?
Well, the transition, to some degree, Mary, the transition is we do see, we keep track of prescription being issued, and over the last decade, certainly we've seen a decrease in prescribed opioids. But what that's wound up driving is street drugs. So heroin has become more readily available. And fentanyl, we hear about that now becoming more available. So it is harder to get them. Certainly, we've seen that transition between going to your doctor, getting a prescription for them. And we talked for a while about drug seekers and responsible prescribing, and that transition has happened. And so prescriptions are much more closely monitored, and we've seen them go down significantly in the last decade. But certainly on the other side of that, you know, I talked to the sheriff a little bit this morning, and the inverse has happened, and now the illegal street drugs are, you know, once you're addicted, you're going to find that scratch to your itch some way or another.
So that's where the problem is. We're hopefully trying to stem the tide of newly addicted people, although some people will just seek recreational drugs whether they're in pain or not. But I mean, as far as I think medical doctors are becoming more savvy,
yes,
that, you know, if the dentist pulls my tooth or I have some back surgery, that I don't need 6 weeks supply, that I need to be monitored more professionally. Let's do 3 days supply and see how you're doing and then see if you need more. Because I remember when my mother passed away, oh my gosh, the drug load in our house. And my brother was laughing. He goes, the way you can't control your diet, he goes, I'm not leaving these pills. He took them right down to the Adams County Health Department and turned them in. But, you know, we were joking about it, but he laughed. He said, you know what, he lives in Dallas. He goes, man, if I could take this back, you know what I could sell that for on the street corner in Dallas?
Yeah.
And so that's how part of it happens. Grandkids get into grandma and grandpa's drug closet, or people that are older, they need one pill a day, but they've prescribed three and the other two are being taken by their own children. It's once you get addicted, then the hook is set.
It's
almost impossible without some kind of professional intervention to get off.
You know, 1 in 12 adults in the United States is battling substance use disorder right now. That's a scary thing. And what Dr. Rich said, you know, absolutely, there's people that you might characterize as a drug addict. You see, you stereotype, but it's you or I or our families. So, you know, we survey youth in this county and across the state of Illinois, they survey youth through the school systems. We know that 5% of eighth graders in Adams County have taken a prescription that does not belong to them. So what you just said is absolutely true, Mary. It's, you can get a hold of someone else's prescription. That's an easy way to start getting that hook set.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of sitting here with my mouth open.
People don't realize we had a Illinois State Police speaker at Rotary about 2 years ago, and you know the area in Illinois where the most Sudafeds dispense, they use that to make meth. Just guess there'd be, Chicago's included, Adams County. Adams County's the number one Sudafed dispensary in all of Illinois. So tells you that there's a lurking problem that we don't want to see or we can't see.
Wow. I think on that, we better take a break. I'm sitting here with my mouth hanging open, and I thought I've covered this subject and kind of knew a little bit about it, but our eyes are being opened. But the good news is they're going to use this settlement money to treat people that have this problem. We're going to talk about that. So, it's nothing to be ashamed of. We're sitting here with our coffee mugs in front of us, and if I went 48 hours without my magic elixir, I would be a very crabby person, not nice to be around. My mother tried to quit smoking for a long time. She finally was able to kick it, but boy, after 3 days, it's like, have a cigarette, Gina. We're really sick of your withdrawal. So it is, it's not something that people can get over by themselves. They need an awful lot of help. We're going to head up to the IRSA Farmers Cooperative to see what's happening up there. The National Pork Board brings you this report on WTAD. Stay tuned. And if you have Parkinson's disease, please take advantage of that Parkinson's support group and go to their website. My guest today is the director of the Adams County Health Department, Jared Welch, and Dr. Bob Rich from the Adams County Board. The board, of course, oversees the health department. We've talked about what the problem is. 1 in 12 Americans have some kind of dependency disorder. It's in varying stages. 5% of eighth graders have said that just to see what it feels like, they've taken a prescription pill that wasn't theirs. So be careful with what you have around your house, because if your back's hurting and, that feels so much better now, your kid might try that too. A lot of prescriptions, doctors are being more careful, but of course, fentanyl and heroin have moved into our area to take the place. So you're getting this money. You're going to work with coalitions that already treat those that have addiction problems. So, Jared Welch, how are you going to attack this problem? Just make more counselors available, make more inpatient treatment available. Throwing money at the problem isn't always going to work, but a lot of people don't get any help because they can't afford to stay at an inpatient treatment facility. I mean, it is expensive when you get hooked on drugs.
Yeah, and we're seeing, there's some good news too, Mary. We have more treatment available in the community than we have historically. We now have 10 medically assisted treatment providers, and we also have 2 addiction medicine specialists here in the community. So that's helping. On the overdose side, Narcan has become readily available. It's something that any individual who themselves, their friends, their family might need. And we know, Narcan is the antidote, basically, to an overdose of an opiate. And so someone can have that in their house without prescription. And it's taboo still. But if you know someone who's in a potential crisis situation, you can have that on standby just in case. So there's good options. As far as the money goes and what we're doing, we're not specifically directing this money. What we're doing is asking our community's experts to come in and tell us what they need. So if it's treatment, if it's more prevention activities, all of those things through this application process, they're going to be able to tell us what they need. And then we're going to be able to fund that with these dollars. So that's the exciting part. Will that be individual treatment for individuals struggling who can't afford it? Possibly. Will it be more interventions within certain settings where there's higher risk? Possibly. So what I love about it is oftentimes we do throw money at a problem. We do throw, our anecdotal, here's what we think will work. So what we want experts to tell us what will work. Come in here, help us help the situation.
So you're granting this money out. You're a pass-through agency, and you're going to rely on the professionals to say, I think we've helped 10 people by doing this. I think we could help 20 if we had another therapist, if we had another inpatient bed, if we had whatever. You cannot force adults to do anything they don't want to do, even when they're breaking the law. Narcan, wonderful, saves lives every day. Firefighters, police officers are carrying it. you can carry it, you know. If you know somebody in your house has a drug problem, God help you, you know. You want to save their life. The problem is you can't do that every week. I mean, there is no way to force somebody to get help, is there? I mean, incarceration and then forced drug treatment behind bars, but is there any other way to force people to get help besides just make it something that they want to do, because it's going to be a very uncomfortable process, the process of withdrawal.
Absolutely.
So knowing that you're going to be there and wrapped in tender care, I guess, would be somewhat willingness.
Yeah, you can't force an adult.
We're hoping that all the health professionals and the people in the community will think outside the box. This is not a huge amount of money, so we want it to go to the right place, but we'd like some innovative programs that we can do this with rather than... If you gave me $1 billion, I couldn't get world peace. So you're giving me $1.2 million, I can't solve the drug problem. We want to make things better in Adams County.
Is it an enforcement problem? I mean, Dr. Rich, you're on the county board, and both of you have talked with the sheriff. Should we be locking more people up? Because while they're behind bars, supposedly they won't be using. They'll go through some kind of withdrawal. The problem with that is, I've never taken it, but people say heroin is so great. If I haven't done it for 5 years, I can never say I wouldn't do it again. I mean, you know, it's just that wonderful. Is that part of the problem?
I think it's really
hard to cure this.
So we don't want to lock people up to force treatment. What one innovative approach that has already started up, and it was an initiative of the Illinois State Police in our region, but... it's called deflection, and so it is a pre-intervention for people who are addicted to substances prior to their interaction in a negative way with law enforcement. So law enforcement observes this routinely these days, and yes, sometimes an arrest is warranted. Other times, if you can get someone into that, warm, wrapped caring environment before they become involved in the justice system, in that early stage of addiction, you're saving good people from bad outcomes. So deflection is one of the initiatives that's forming. It's an exciting one. We already have drug court here, and we know that there is some success out of that as well. So it's a spectrum on addiction and its interaction with the justice system. But the goal is not the far end of it. It's the early end of it and the preventative end of it, really.
Well, that's why it's a public health problem.
Absolutely.
We're not tackling this as a law enforcement issue. Law enforcement is, of course, going to try to interdict fentanyl and heroin and cocaine and everything that comes into our community. They're going to try to, to prevent that from happening. But this is a health problem. Therefore, the Adams County Health Department is involved because people that are addicted are sick. And just like they need treatment.
Say that again and again, Mary.
Yeah,
that really
people that are addicted are sick. And one of the saddest things about it is their sickness may have been triggered by another sickness. And a doctor who didn't want them to suffer pain, who didn't want them to have that agonizing pain, said, we'll make 100% of it go away and you'll just be on top of a cloud. And for a lot of people, once they sat on top of that cloud, they don't ever want to go back down to real life. And that's the addictive personality that can more easily and readily succumb. And we all like to think we have willpower and we'd never let that happen to us. But like I said, I challenge you, if you drink 2 cups of coffee every day tomorrow, don't have 2 cups of coffee. And tell me if you don't feel a little bit crabby and uneasy at the end of the day, so it's easy for it to happen. So you're going to be out talking to groups like Clarity, like Transitions, like all these places that already deal with this, and help letting them know this money is available. We want some real response. We want some measurable outcomes from what's happening.
We are.
Okay.
And Dr. Rich may be the best to speak on that. He and the county board have been responsible for making this process real.
We've put together a real good community group, and we're going to vet this money. And while we have, we want it to do the most it can in our county. And I'm real proud of our county board that we recognize we have a drug problem. Many places don't; they're in denial, and it's too bad. The money's available; they should use it.
Okay, thank you, and we'll check back with you regularly. Don't be such a stranger, okay? Need to have both of you on real soon again. Thank you so very much. The opioid problem in Adams County, it's everywhere, folks. It's here. It could be right in your home. So don't close your eyes to it. Help the person you love get help.